Chapter 9. It seemed strange to Katie to have Pop help house clean her room. Mom had always helped before. But today she said she'd make the dinner and let Pop do the harder work. Katie had consented to putting a bed for Aunt Harriet in her room, so now after everything was in tip-top order, the extra bed was added. Pop got it at a sale in Westboro. A dresser was brought from Rudy's room so that there would be two. "Will I be using that one?" Katie asked Pop, then added, "And will she take mine?" "Oh no," Pop said. "Aunt Harriet wouldn't dream of taking your dresser. I know her quite well, and I know she'd want the smaller one." Then he began telling stories about Aunt Harriet. At last, everything was in place. Everything was ready except a spread for Aunt Harriet's bed. Katie's was pink, and she hoped Aunt Harriet's would match. But Mom didn't know. Aunt Harriet had just said she'd bring her own, so Katie would have to wait and see. When the bedroom was all finished, the whole family came up to inspect it. They said it looked beautiful, and Katie should be pleased with it. Since Aunt Harriet wouldn't be coming for 2 weeks, Katie would have time to get used to the new look. Rudy's room looked different, too, with the extra dresser gone. It wasn't so crowded. He was smiling for the first time in days, but that didn't last long. Soon he was sitting on the front porch step again. What could they do? Mom sat on the rocker beside him. She didn't look too good today. After supper, Levi and Ike gathered the tools they'd need to work at the Hoovers the next day. They put them in a box on the back seat of the DeSoto. Ike slammed the door shut and turned to Pop. "I don't like to always have to use your car, Pop. I think after we've finished building Hoover's implement shed, I might have enough money saved to buy a used car of my own." "Well, don't be in a hurry about it. I can manage. I don't plan to use the car because I stay at home when you're gone. It's asking too much of Katie to do everything." "We'll get our own breakfast," Ike said. "The Hoovers have a lot of inside work that needs to be done, and they don't want to start that before daylight. Don't look for us before late tomorrow evening." Ike turned to Levi. "Get to bed, boy. You'll need all your energy tomorrow." It seemed to Katie that she had barely gone to bed when she heard the loud noise. She turned over and pulled the cover over her head. The noise didn't stop. She sat up in bed. Someone was knocking on her door. "Katie! Katie, wake up!" It was Pop. He opened the door to see whether she was awake. "Hurry and get dressed. Mom's very sick. You must go to Herman's and call the doctor." Katie looked out the window. "It's dark, Pop. Where are Ike and Levi? Can't they take the car?" she asked as she raced around gathering her clothes. "They left half an hour ago," said Pop. "Mom's too sick for me to leave her, so I'm depending on you. Please hurry, Katie. Your mom is really sick." "I'll hurry, Pop." Katie grabbed her shoes and a light jacket, and she was ready. Katie grabbed her shoes and a light jacket, and she was ready. But when she opened the door, the darkness wrapped itself around her like a fearsome thing. She stopped. "I can't see," she protested, trembling. Pop put a hand on her shoulder and whispered, "You can do it, Katie. You're blinded by the light from the window right now. As soon as you get past the house, you'll be able to see. Don't forget, I'm praying for Mom and you. For Mom's sake, Katie, hurry. It'll soon start to get light." The wind was rising, and as she went around the corner of the house, raindrops struck her face. She looked up and saw heavy, billowy clouds all over the sky. A flash off to the right told her what was well on the way, and she struck out on a run. The uneven ground slowed Katie, and she thought of Leaner. He'd have been across here in no time. She tried to run faster, but after each flash of lightning, she was blinded again. She looked ahead. Far across the field stood the Herman buildings, dark, even darker than the sky. She tried to go in that direction, but the wind kept pushing her. She stumbled over clumps of grass, but she didn't stop as the storm came on with fury. Her lungs were burning, and every muscle in her body ached as she rushed ahead. A bright zigzagging stroke of lightning. A bright zigging stroke of lightning and a deafening crash frightened Katie, causing her to lose her footing, and she skidded across the ground on her knees. The rain was washing her hair over her eyes as she picked herself up. Rain ran down her neck and little rivers. She started on. Oh, help me, God. I'm so afraid. And take care of Mom till the doctor gets there. With jerky sobs, she kept running, wiping the water and tears away with a muddy fist. Suddenly, she was at the end of the field and at Herman's lawn. Katie dashed across the wet grass to the kitchen door. The house was dark. Would Saul hear her with all this wind and rain? Oh, please, God, make him hear. She hammered on the door with all her might and yelled, Saul! Saul! Wake up! Call the doctor! Mom is sick! She caught her breath a second, then began hammering again. It's Katie, Saul! Wake up! A light appeared as Saul slowly opened the door and peered out into the darkness. He was startled to see Katie standing there. Come in! Come in, child! What in the world? Mom is sick, Saul. Call the doctor, quick! Katie gasped as she collapsed on the floor, her wet clothes making little streams in the hall. Hanging up the receiver, Saul spoke reassuringly to Katie. The doctor will be out in a few minutes. Saul walked over to the stairs and called, Marie, come down here. Hurry. Both Marie and Lucy hurried down the stairs in their robes. They were shocked when they saw Saul kneeling on the floor, taking off Katie's dripping jacket. You shouldn't have run so fast, Saul said. You're trembling and exhausted. What was I to do? Let Mom die? Katie shouted as she broke into uncontrollable sobbing. She's sick, Saul. She's sick. Her voice ended in a screech. Somebody had to come up. The boys took the car to work, and Pop couldn't leave Mom alone. Get a mop, Lucy, Marie instructed. I'm going for towels and some dry clothes. She hurried up the stairs and soon returned with a gown and robe of her own. Marie was closer to Katie's size than Lucy was. Marie helped Katie dry herself and change clothing while Saul went to dress, and Lucy mopped up the floor. Lucy stopped mopping. Look at your knees. Did you fall? She stared open-mouthed. Look, Mama. She's all scraped up. She turned to Katie. What happened? Katie was too exhausted to answer. Saul hurried down the stairs looking very solemn. He sat on a step watching as Marie helped Katie with a glass of water. You were a very brave girl, he said. A very brave girl. Lucy was almost in tears herself. You should see her knees, Papa. She must have fallen. She was outside when that awful crash came. I couldn't have done it, Papa. I couldn't have. She stood there with her hand on Katie's shoulder, as if in some way she could give her a little strength. Come, said Marie, taking Katie's hand. Lie here on the sofa and rest. You needn't sit on that chair any longer. You're dry now. No, Saul stood up. I'm taking her home. The rain's let up quite a bit, and she'll want to know how her mother is. Somebody get her a jacket, and we'll go now. Lucy hurried to her room and brought down one of her own jackets. It was big, but it felt cozy. Saul ran out to get the Maxwell and was soon back. With a swoop of his arms, he picked Katie up, took her out, and set her down in the front seat of the car. As he went around to the other side, Katie thought of Pop. Mind your manners no matter what, he always said. I'm sorry I yelled at you, Katie said as Saul got in. She was finally getting her breath back enough to talk without shaking. Saul stared. You ran across that long field at top speed, not caring if you fell in a hole and broke an ankle or a leg. It was dark and stormy, but you did it because you love your parents, and you apologized to me because you lost your patience with me for just a minute? I'm the one who should apologize for what I said. He started the car. You are a brave girl. I don't know anyone else who would have done that. They drove to Katie's house in silence. The doctor's car was there when they arrived. Saul waited while Katie hurried up to Mom's room. She opened the door softly. She could barely see through a blur of tears. She blinked them away, and there was Pop leaning over Mom as the doctor did a final check. Mom looked very pale, but she smiled. Pop hugged Katie to him. There were tears in his eyes, too. "I didn't know a storm was coming, child," he whispered. "But God was with you." "And with Mom, too."
"Yes," agreed Pop. "And Mom and I can't thank you enough."
"She's doing fine," Dr. Jensen assured Katie when he saw her standing there. "You were a very brave girl going so far in that storm. Your parents are proud of you." Turning to Pop, he said, "I'll be back later to see how she's doing." As the doctor went down the stairs, Katie quietly followed. She knew Saul would ask how Mom was. Saul stood as the doctor walked to the door. "How is she, doctor?" he asked. "She's doing better now, but 5 minutes more would have been too late." "I marvel at the way she rallied once she got the medicine."
"Did you say 5 minutes?"
Saul had a strange look on his face.
"Yes," answered the doctor. "You can't waste time when you're dealing with a bad heart."
He lowered his voice.
"I don't know why these people don't get a phone. With her health the way it is, being without one is awfully risky."
Then he spoke up again. "I'm sure she'll be all right now. I'm leaving, but I'll be back later. Are you coming?"
"No, I'm staying." Saul sat down in the chair. "Just in case we need to make another phone call. Until we're certain everything is okay."
Saul stayed until the doctor returned. When he was assured that Mom was out of immediate danger, Saul left for home. As he opened the door to leave, he saw Rudy sitting on the porch step in his pajamas.
"Rudy, are you up already? I didn't see you come out."
"That's 'cause I comed out the other door," Rudy answered without turning his head.
He looked so little and sad sitting there.
"I heard the noise. The doctor was here. My mom is sick."
"Your mother is doing better," said Saul gently. "Try to smile."
Rudy's head went lower.
"My mom is sick. My dog has died. And there is no other little bodies around here for me to play with."
"I'm sorry," is all Saul said. Then he left.
Levi and Ike were shocked when they returned in the evening. But the day wasn't over for Ike. First, he made a trip to Westboro for more medicine for Mom. After a telephone call from there, he had a 2-hour drive to get to Aunt Harriet's house. They'd need her before school after all. When Ike and Aunt Harriet returned the next morning, the doctor had already been there and pronounced Mom greatly improved. Ike and Katie carried Aunt Harriet's suitcases up to Katie's bedroom while Aunt Harriet went to greet Mom. Just then they heard a car, and Ike looked out the window.
"It's Herman's," he said. "All three of them. They're coming in."
The Hermans were at the door by the time Katie and Ike got downstairs. Saul was carrying a big pot, which he set in the sink.
"How's your mother?" Marie asked, looking from Katie to Ike. "Can we see her for just a minute, or doesn't she want any visitors? We brought a pot of chicken noodle soup. I hope she can eat some. There's enough for everybody. We'll pick up the pot another day. Can we see her?"
Ike hesitated a minute, then decided, "Yes, if it's not too long." So Katie escorted them upstairs. The visit was short, and Katie, who had gone to her room, noticed that only Marie and Lucy came from Mom's room. As they stood at the top of the stairs, Lucy turned to her mother and whispered,
"I'm glad she looks so good. But you know, Mama, she could have died, and it would have been all our fault. And they know it. What must they think of us?"
Marie shook her head.
"I don't know, dear. I just don't know."
"And none of them said a word about it," Lucy continued.
"That's what makes Papa and me feel really awful," Marie answered, as they started down the stairs.
In the stillness, Katie had heard.
Where was Saul? He still hadn't come out of Mom's room.
Katie quietly moved down the hall to Mom's room.
Hearing low voices, she stood very still outside the door. Saul was talking to Mom and Pop.
"I guess I've been the worst kind of neighbor anyone could have been," Saul was saying. "We've put you all through so much, and most of it was because of my stubbornness. I want you to know that I called the Anderson Telephone Company and told them they have my permission to cross my field whenever you request service. They were glad to hear it and said they'd notify you immediately. We'll talk more later on, or Sarah will get tired. Now rest. We'll be back."
Saul turned to go, then stopped.
"One other thing I must ask you now."
He said something low, and Pop and Mom both smiled and nodded yes. Hard as she tried, Katie could not hear that last thing he said.
That's the end of that.